Hello, everyone. This is Lavelle Neal, columnist of Star Tribune, with Roy Smalley, Twins legend, as we bring to you our latest edition of Chin Music. In the second straight week, we will not have Jim Suhan, who is too busy chasing Suni Lee and Twins pitching prospects all over Japan during the Olympics. So, Roy, we've had a lot of action since we last spoke, and I don't even know if we're going to talk about how the Twins are playing on the field today, because we've got so much off-the-field news to kind of digest and break down. It may take up our entire time today. But just within the last hour and a half of this recording, Twins starting pitcher Jose Berríos is now a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. He was dealt for the second best and the fourth best prospect in the Toronto Blue Jays system. The prospect number two is Austin Meadows, who is a outfielder. Austin Martin. I'm sorry. I should be thinking about the car. Austin Martin.
Right. That's what you want to think about.
Austin Martin is a shortstop center fielder who's a pretty much a great contact hitter and trying to prove he's a shortstop. And their fourth best prospect is a right-hander named Simeon Woods Richardson, who has a live arm, has plenty of upside. But after trying to sign Berríos to multiple contracts over the years and him turning them all down, the Twins sensed that Berríos was looking forward to going into free agency in 15 months, and they decided to get what they could for him. And at the beginning of the year, both these Blue Jays prospects were considered among the top 100 prospects in the game. So some people are looking like this as a good haul. Roy, how do you see this move, and how disappointing is it when a team develops a guy like Jose Berríos and then has to get rid of him as he approaches free agency?
Yeah, the difficult thing is that they just weren't able to put it together around Jose Berríos, and part of it is is on Jose. I don't think until this season, I don't think he'd really put it together. If you look at his numbers, they're awfully good, and as pitchers go in this day and age, with guys going to hit the ball in the ballpark and the like. I mean, I think he's one of the real outstanding pitchers in the game. Still, you look at that stuff and you look at the promise, what they thought they were going to have in an ace, and it never quite developed. But I would say that he was not the luckiest guy in terms of run support. His whole career this year is the most striking. And it was one of those deals where, you know what, he wants to see what free agency is like, and we're not going to be able to sign him. So what can we get? Now they're thinking about that, and it fell right in their laps. Now, it really pretty fortunate that there are big spending teams that are in the hunt that need pitching. Scherzer comes off the board, and I got to believe Jose Berríos was the next man standing. And so they were able to, it sounds like they were able to get a couple of good young kids, and a hitter, an athlete, and an athlete, and a pitcher with a live arm, as you say, Lavelle. So you never know this, you never know how these trades are going to work, but these are the trades that you pretty much have to make. When they're in a transition like this, they've got to trade the value that they have for as good a young players as they can find, and just stock the organization and hope that your scouts and your analytical ability of people's talents, young kids' talents, really wins out. If these two kids turn out to be big league players of any renown at all, it's going to be a good trade.
Now it's already been thrown around on Twitter and social media this afternoon about the Twins lacking the willingness to lock up their good young players and keeping them regardless of the cost. I'm only going to partially agree with that statement. It's a little disappointing when you see some of these guys walk, but the reality is that you can't keep everybody. And the Twins tried to sign Berríos multiple times, and it didn't work out. And they saw the handwriting on the wall with this guy. How should the Twins be looked at for this move? Should they have made a more of an effort to get this kid signed and maybe be willing to push their boundaries of what they were comfortable spending to keep him. Or we know that they're a mid-major market. We know that they didn't have the greatest television contract. So it's not like they're like the Dodgers who can go, hey, let's get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner today. You know, they just can't snap their fingers and become a super team. Right. But how should the Sooners be looked at here?
You know, a couple of things that you said there strike me. The feeling the Twins should sign their, you know, their good players regardless of cost. It can never be regardless of cost. I mean, it just can't be unless you're the Dodgers. And so I'm going to dismiss the, you know, regardless of cost sentiment. And if you look at the Twins, I would fault them more for the situation they've gotten themselves into. Some of it is not, you know, their own fault. Guys haven't lived up to, you know, what they thought. But going into the season, everybody thought it was going to be a terrific team, and they needed to bolster the bullpen a little bit, and they tried to do that, and that was kind of a failure. And the starting pitching they tried to help, kind of a failure. So you're in a situation. The Twins are in a situation right now. You look up and you say, "What's going to be like next year?" So what if we sign Jose Barrios? Yes, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. And what if we spend a boatload of money and keep him, and we lose, you know, 90 ball games because we haven't figured out the rest of it? We still have to. You got to spend a boatload of money. Now you got to go spend a boatload of money on bullpen guys and hope you get it right this time. And they were in a bind. So I think getting, you know, the idea of trading Barrios is the right one, unless there's any other way that you can field a team around him, and especially a pitching staff around him that's going to give you a chance. And if I got to believe they looked at what's going on and said, you know what? And these are the tough decisions. We talked about this a little bit last time. The toughest decisions are the ones that you have to, the most courageous decisions have to be made now. And that is, man, it feels bad to trade a guy of Jose Barrios' talent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we have to get young players, and we can't overspend for a guy that is not, that can't single-handedly, you know, get us to the postseason. And Barrios was not going to be able, on this team, was not going to be able to do that.
For background's sake, Austin Martin was a former first-round pick of the Blue Jays a year ago. He was drafted as a shortstop out of Vanderbilt. Since then, he's played some center field. It looks like he can move around. There is some concern about, one, his lack of power, because I think he has just two home runs this year, and B, if he can stick at shortstop. But his bat-the-ball skills apparently are pretty high, and his on-base skills are going to be high as well. And apparently that's what the Twins are buying in terms of Martin. And in terms of Simeon Woods Richardson, fastball can get up to 95. He has 60 command, so that's encouraging. And he's got, I believe he has a changeup that is above average as well. So there are things to work with. Things have not worked out well for him this year. He has an ERA around 5, but that has not changed people's thinking of him. And he was a second-round pick of the Blue Jays. So you think the Twins got good value out of this?
It sounds like it. Here's the thing that bothers me. I'll start with Richardson, Simeon Woods Richardson. If he can throw 95 and at this young age, what, I think he's 20 years old, he's already starting to command a changeup. That's advanced. And so you say, well, why does he have a 5 ERA? There's a lot of things that can happen in AA to a 20-year-old that can impact performance. And clearly he's going to need, you know, some more seasoning. But it sounds like they got the kind of arm that would make sense to think that in a couple of years, it didn't play last year, so AA this year, AAA next year, and maybe even close. We'll see. We'll see. The thing that intrigues me and at the same time bothers me about Austin Martin is, in my experience, whenever someone says he can make most of the plays at shortstop, or whenever someone said, yeah, he's a shortstop, but he can play center field, and then I want to say, yeah, I don't know if shortstop's going to be his position. And I don't know anything about him. The Twins, you know, if he were a high on-base percentage guy, which it looks like he is, even if he doesn't hit a lot of home runs, and everybody was saying, man, you should see the way this kid can play shortstop, then I would say, wow. You know, now you really have something. It sounds to me like you've got a guy that they think, okay, he's a very good contact and on-base percentage guy, sounds like an athlete. Where is he going to play? And so that's the only thing that concerns me just a little bit, because I you know, when I heard of the shortstop, big prospect, top 20 when he was, you know, I think he was 16, drafted 16, I don't know, pretty really high in the first round.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, okay, you know, they got something. And then I'm starting to hear, well, you know, center field, don't know about shortstop. Then I go, okay, it doesn't sound to me like, I mean, that's what they said about Jorge Polanco. So, you know, we'll see.
Absolutely. I have to see the kid play short now. I got to see where the concerns are, if it's arm or if it's range or what, to make
right,
a determination.
I haven't seen it either, but if they think he can play center field, I got to believe he's got a decent arm. But we'll see. We'll just have to see.
All right. There may be some other moves down the pike. Michael Pineda could be dealt. But there's interest in Byron Buxton as we speak today. I'm against trading Buck at this point, because I think any team that trades for Byron is trying to get him for either 80 cents on the dollar or 70 cents on the dollar, because he's been banged up and he's currently on the IL. I think if Buxton gets back in the lineup in August and stays in the lineup and plays well, the Twins could possibly have a higher price during the offseason. That's why I would gamble and wait till then.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we were talking about him last week on the show, and I just made the statement, I'm going down with the ship with Byron. I think you keep him for the points that that you made, but also the fact that it reminds me of a comment that Gene Mock made to me one time when I was a kid, and I followed baseball, you know, assiduously, and you know, collected baseball cards and read box scores and all that. And Gene was managing the Phillies, and the Cincinnati Reds traded Frank Robinson to the Orioles for Milt Pappas, who was a very good pitcher for
Cubs.
The Orioles.
Pitched for the Cubs too.
Yep. He was a very good pitcher. He had pitched well for the Orioles. The Orioles got Frank Robinson, and I asked Mock, I said, what do you think about that trade? You know, because you've got, he's in the National League. Now, he's not going to have Frank Robinson in 10-10 when he's got Milt Pappas. I said, what do you think of that trade? He said, I think it's great. I said, why do you think it's great? He said, Milt Pappas can beat me once every 5 days. Frank Robinson can beat me every day of the week.
There you go.
And that's the way I feel about Byron and Jose Barrios, right? I mean, you got to have pitching, and I understand that. But for sheer day-in, day-out game impact, and the big question, if healthy, but I just think Byron still has a chance to be a big-time, game-changing kind of player. And, you know, I go down with the injury ship with him. I hang with him.
I'm holding out hope too that the Twins make another attempt to sign Buck Byron as well and offer him something more than $11 million over a year, over 7 years, and raise their base to something that's a little more acceptable. We will see.
Hi, I'm Laura Shera, and do you really know what it costs to heat water at your home, cabin, or business? No? Well, we do. Based on data from the U.S. Department of Energy, the average annual savings for homes that heat their water with propane rather than electricity is $175. You can save energy and get 2.5 times as much hot water compared to the average electric water heater. Let's save energy and money with a cleaner, greener fuel. Propane, the right energy right now.
Combine your love for competition, social, and sports with Better Edge, the sports betting exchange that actually gives back to its bettors. Better Edge is a brand new locally based betting platform meant to connect users and attempt to add some coin to the bank. Completely legal and 100% fun. Compete against friends, sports insiders, and yourself with Better Edge and a number of different sports and event competitions. Use code CHIN, C-H-I-N, for a free $10 when you sign up by visiting betteredge.com. That's BETTOR edge.com.
While we've been speaking, the Twins have claimed a right-handed reliever off waivers. His name is Edgar Garcia. He was claimed off waivers from the Cincinnati Reds organization and would be optioned in St. Paul. In AAA, he had a 3.2 ERA with a 31.4% strikeout rate and an average fastball at 95.1 miles an hour. But in the majors, he's got a 7.14 ERA. So it looks like there's something to work with there, but it just wasn't clicking with the Reds.
Yeah, and again, you know, the best thing that you can do, these are minor deals, but if a guy throws 95, then, you know, and you can get him for the waiver price, if they have seen something that they think they can work with, then that's, you know, that's certainly worth a shot at it. I mean, we've all, people everywhere say, you know, Twins, all these guys have power arms around the league. Everybody throws 94 and above, and the Twins have, you know, had, you know, 25 years of guys that dink and dunk, you know, on the mound.
Right.
Okay, so now they're starting to accumulate some guys that throw 95 or more, and that's what everybody wanted. So let's see who develops.
Now, before Barrios, there was Nelson Cruz, and to me, it was a slam dunk. If you're not competing, you try to put Cruz in a position where you can go for the postseason and get what you can. So the Cruz was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays in return for pitchers Joe Ryan and Drew Strotman. Ryan, a scout who follows the Rays, happened to be in the press box the day of the trade, and he likes both the arms that the Twins got. He told me Joe Ryan throws 92-93, but he's plus makeup, and he battles, and he is not afraid to come at guys and be aggressive with his fastball. The second kid, Drew Strotman, is a year removed from Tommy John, and he's still trying to get all the feeling back for his pitches, but he could touch 97, and he has a couple decent breaking balls and a curveball. I mean, and a changeup. So apparently these two gentlemen have decent talent, and Joe Ryan today, Roy, pitched for Team USA in the Olympics and held Team Israel to one run over six innings. That one run was a Danny Valencia home run. But the United States did win the game. So, and for those of you who are Olympic baseball fans, Simeon Woods Richardson is also on the Olympic team this year. So you can see two Twins pitching prospects in the Olympics over the next couple weeks, or however long the United States last in that tournament. But Roy, what was your reaction to the Cruz trade, and what do you think about the type of pitchers they got in return?
Well, it sounds like, I mean, you know more about the pitchers than I do. I really like your scouting report on each of them. You know, it's funny, you know, 92, 93, that's not 97, but it's not 90, and, you know, and right. And he's crafty. You know, I mean, this is 92, 93, and he's not afraid. He's got a big, you know, good makeup. That's important. And, you know, I like the sound of that. If the Tampa Bay scout likes them, then I think that's your best barometer. And again, they got a young man who can throw 97. They just haven't been able to say that, you know, very often. And to get those two kinds of arms out of an organization that really developed pitching very, very well, half mm-hmm. the last 10 years, I would say that there's a chance too that one or both are going to emerge in the not too distant future. And to get those two arms for a 41-year-old man, I think that's pretty good. You know, you don't know. Again, this kind of fell the Twins' way, and it fell Nelson Cruz's way. I'm really happy for Nelly that he's going to a team's got a chance to win, and he might personally, you know, put them over the top in terms of getting in the postseason and far in the postseason, because we can still see that he's an elite hitter, and he put him in that lineup. And all of a sudden that whole team looks better, and it's good for him. I'm really, really happy. And good for the Twins that there's no way that they were going to sign him for next year, in my view. And maybe his biggest value, I mean, it's clear that Tampa Bay thought that his getting to the postseason was so important this year that they were going to give up a couple of good young arms. I mean, the Twins were put in a really nice position there, and looks like they may have taken advantage of it. So all in all, but the two trades they've made so far, they got four kids with a chance to play major roles in the big leagues at some point. We'll have to see. But so far on paper, it sounds decent.
Right, exactly. And the scout who I got the information from on the two pitchers is actually with another team. So he wasn't a Rays scout who would be somewhat
even
biased
better.
About his own.
Yeah, even
this guy
better.
More has a looking at it with a unprejudiced eye here. So that's an encouraging thing. Oh, by the way, Griffin Jacks will be starting instead of Barrios today as the Twins open up a weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals in the Sea of Arches. So now I wanted to get to that part here, the Barrios trade and the Cruz trade, and they've gotten three pitchers in those two deals. And now, Roy, we can start thinking about how this rotation is going to be rebooted here over the next year or so, because you have Joe Ryan, Drew Strautman, and Simeon Woods Richardson added to a group of Yoan Duran, Jordan Balazovic, Josh Winder, and Cole Sands. Now, every pitcher I know,
Colina when he gets healthy.
That's right. Although I don't know if he's a starter or a reliever, but I know I've seen him throw 90. I've seen him start at A ball and hit 97 on the gun with a good slider and a changeup he was working on. So I don't know where he's at.
Well, he's going to be in the mix somewhere. I mean, again, 97 miles an hour. He's going to be in the mix somewhere at some point in the next few years. So it's different for the Twins, isn't it? Not just the names are different; it's the ages and the velocities and the we haven't seen this in a while.
Yeah. So as I mentioned last week, Winder they want up in the majors before the year is over. Sands is still a double-A, but he could make progress at triple-A and knock on the door next year. It sounds like both Joe Ryan and Drew Strautman are going to go to triple-A. I'm guessing Simeon Woods Richardson would go to double-A. Duran's at triple-A, and Balazovic, is that double-A, or he may have just been promoted to triple-A? I don't know. All I know is that Balazovic has been dealing his last two or three outings since getting healthy here. So that's the thing, though. This rotation could turn over quickly in the next year or so, and now they got options. And this is something they didn't have this time a year ago, and I think they got caught a little bit. I've been critical of how they put together the pitching staff for this year, and one of my criticisms was they didn't have enough starting pitching options. You're going to need eight or nine starters to get through a season at least, and I don't think relying on a Lewis Thorpe or a Devin Smeltzer should be part of the equation here. But these kids – and other than Ryan, all these other fastballs can hit 95. Duran has touched 99. Winder has touched 97. Sands throws pretty decently. And so does Balazovic. So it's not just, spot hitting, soft tossing finesse guys. These are guys who, for the majority of them, have above average fastballs. And I think this is what people have been waiting for from Falvey and Levine, and especially Falvey, who was supposed to be a pitching expert as far as trying to get some arms into the system who could thrive sooner than later. And they're going to need that to happen. If they want this reboot, or whatever you want to call it, to just last a year or so, they're going to need these young guys to start knocking on the door.
All true, and I think the total reboot from a pitching staff standpoint, to be completed, is a minimum 2 years away. But guys will be, there will be a couple of young faces in the rotation next year, and we'll see how quickly other young faces and young arms can appear as well. But again, when you're the general manager and the president of baseball operations, You're obviously looking to improve your team every year to win that year or the next year, and after the trade deadline and the winter meetings, for 2022, you want to be a contender. But you also want to set up your club because reboots happen all the time, and you want to set up the club so that you don't have 5, 6, 7 year reboots, right? I mean, there are going to be years that all of a sudden guys are getting older, guys have gotten hurt, guys didn't perform the way you thought, and you look up, and it's kind of like where we are now, and you look up and say, oh, we got to change. You know, we got to do some of these other things. And so that's what they're obviously what they're trying to do. And I think it's from a pitching standpoint, they're in a better position, to your point, to have seven, eight, nine guys in the next two or three years that, you know, that really have a chance. And you know, that's all you can really do. But I, you know, as you and I both have talked about and know, they're not done yet changing this club around, and not just on the, you know, not just on the mound. And I'm curious to know what you think about what other, do you think that it's taken so much time to get this Barrios thing done that it's over now? I mean, are they going to make another move or two?
I think they're going to continue to make moves. I would be surprised if we meet next week and have a discussion about the ramifications of a Michael Pineda trade or Andrelton Simmons trade. I'm crossing my fingers that there's not a Buxton trade. When you make a deal for a kid like Austin Martin, you get nervous about, okay, is this guy a shortstop? If he's not, is he a center fielder? And if he's a center fielder, are they already planning for life without Byron? You know, I'm a little nervous about that one. They pick up the reliever from the Reds off waivers. Does that mean they know they're trading a reliever today? You know, is Robles going to be around this time next week? Is Colomay going to be around this time this week? Is Rogers or Duffy going to be around this time next week? You know, so I don't think the Twins are done. I don't think they should be done. This is an opportunity to get some talent. If you get closer to the majors, this talent is, the better. That helps slow things down. There's still going to be an existing core here. I'm sure Garver, maybe Kepler and Polanco will still be around. And I put Arias pretty much kind of cemented himself to the current core or two as soon as he came up. But there's also another wave, the Larnaches, the Kirilovs, the Jeffers, and those guys who could be joined by Martin next year and Royce Lewis next year. So how does all that fit in with this mix here? So I think they're trying to kind of retool a little bit on the run here and not have a full-fledged 2 or 3 year stretch here where they kind of bite the bullet while guys are getting experience. That's what I sense they're trying to do. The reality is, especially with these young arms, it may take a couple of years. But realizing that 2022 being competitive is not a reality, I give them credit for understanding that and trying to take advantage of the trade deadline to get better down the road.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like I said before, it takes courage to make trades like this. It's not dumb. It's smart and it's courageous. And because it would be really easy to say, we got to keep Rios, and then you look up next year and you still don't have enough young arms to be a five or 6 year contending team. I mean, and all of a sudden they're starting to get there a little bit, you know, down the road. And so I know Twins fans will be impatient, and nobody wants to sit through, you know, the Twins getting their heads beat in. On the other hand, they're not so far off that with a breakout season from Kepler, another breakout season from Kepler, Polanco returning a 300 hitter. If Donaldson is still here, he may not be. They may trade him next year if Royce Lewis is ready to play, you know, short or third. You know, I mean, they've got some options now, but they also have guys that they look at and say, what if? What if Kirilov is healthy for, you know, and plays 150 games and he takes the next step, which I think he will? What if Buck stays healthy all year long? What if Kepler breaks out? What if Polanco has a normal year again? I mean, they're not going to be pushovers. They get any kind of pitching at all, then it won't be, you know, it won't be a bunch of young guys losing 100 games, you know.
Right.
And so I think they're trying to finesse it as best they can, and I don't think it's going to be too bad.
One last thing before I let you go. In all your time watching and playing baseball, would you ever imagine a day in which the team you were on would hit 7 home runs, the other team would have 0 home runs, and you would lose that game 17-14?
How about, in addition to that, how about if my team has 2 6-run innings? And loses. When does that happen? When a team scores 6 runs in 2 separate innings and they lose the ball game. That was just incredible. I mean, it just like, okay, did that really happen?
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of tuned off. They fell behind 10-0. I kind of tuned off. But then it went to 10-6, then 13-6, then 13-12. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? and then the Tigers added enough runs to pull away at the end.
Yeah, and then, and they scored two more runs in the ninth to, you know, get it back close, even closer. I mean, it was an amazing game.
It was an embodiment of the Twins season right there, because the one day they become the bomber squad again, they can't out hit their pitching staff.
and that's which it just points to what we're saying. You got to get young arms.
Yep.
You know, you can't have in this day and age in baseball, it's just going to be the fact that you're going to have to throw 95 or above. You just, you know, unless you're the craftiest of crafty, you know, you have to have young arms to pitch, and they don't have enough young arms to, you know, they don't have enough guys that can come in clearly and hold another team under 14 runs. So,
well, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Minnesota Propane. I'm out of town this week, so I'm not able to get to my grill, so I can use some wonderful propane, but I plan to catch up when I get back to town, as well as Better Edge. Thanks a lot, Roy. I look forward to speaking with you next week, and we'll talk to all of you soon here on Chin Music.